Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes. We are back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 13 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. And if you own a business, if you are thinking of buying a business, if you would like to own a business one day and then hope to sell it one day, then you're going to want to pay attention to our discussion today, because we're talking with our good friend Russ Brown about how to structure a successful small business sale. Let me tell you a little bit about Russ. He's been a business broker and a consultant for many years. He's been involved in all aspects of buying, selling, and operating small businesses. He's the president of RDS Associates Incorporated and the Business Book Press. He's the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale, which is one book, and another book, which is called Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, two separate books. And Russ, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you with us. And Russ, folks, is also a member of our Brain Trust, of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, and has been since its inception. He's one of the original members. And Russ has been with us many, many times before to talk to us about all the different aspects of buying and selling a business. And today, Russ, we're going to talk about structuring a successful small business sale. How do we get started?
Well, we're going to presume that you've already completed the deal up to the point that you've found a business to buy, or if you're a seller, you found a buyer, and now you want to complete that transaction. You've pretty much agreed on the price for the business, and now you have to determine how you put that together to be sold. You can't just say such and such restaurant is going to be sold lock, stock, and barrel.
Right. So we've got a buyer and a seller who basically, if they don't necessarily like each other, which hopefully they do, they at least agree that the seller has a business that the buyer wants to buy, and the buyer is qualified. The seller is convinced that the buyer is qualified to buy it and can come up with the goods to make the purchase.
That's right.
Okay.
And what we're going to try to do is we're going to define exactly what is going to be sold. We have to write that down, put that into a purchase and sale agreement,
right,
as part of the structure that we're putting together. So exactly what needs to be sold, we'll talk about that. We have to decide how it's going to be sold. Is it an asset sale or a corporate stock sale? So we're going to make that decision, and then we're going to talk about how the financing has to be arranged, because you know there's many times that a business sale will involve financing from the seller. And if you're a typical business sale, there will be some financing held by the seller.
Right.
And so we'll need to get that in there. We'll need to talk about the structure of that.
Where are we with regard to the letter of intent?
Well, the letter of intent's already been delivered. That
right.
was early on. That's
okay.
What gave the buyer the right or the option to look at the financial records of the business, to get into the very private details of that company.
And folks, these are all subjects that Russ and I have already covered on this show before. And the good news is when we get our archives capability up on our website, you'll be able to go back and find those discussions and put all these pieces of the puzzle together.
That's right. And I took a look at that website that you're getting going there, Jim, with the archives. And what an excellent resource that's going to be for small business owners and small business owner wannabes.
Yeah, well, thank
super,
you, Russ.
Super resource.
I appreciate that. I sent Russ some advanced version, because Russ is he's not only part of your brain trust, he's part of my brain trust. And Russ takes an advanced look at some things for me sometimes and helps me out with that. But Russ, so we're beyond the letter of intent. We've already got the letter of intent stage out of the way. And so we're moving, are we moving to contract? Are we moving closer to contract?
Well, let's say the next step after the letter of intent is the due diligence process,
okay.
the detailed due diligence. So we've done that as well. And now we've all moved from due diligence into negotiations to specify exactly what price we want to pay. And as part of this process, of the negotiation process, is the subject that we're talking about today, of structuring the business sale.
Okay.
It really comes in under the negotiation. So the letter of intent has been signed. There's a buyer who says that, yes, I want to buy that business, and the seller says, yes, I want to sell it.
Maybe a deposit has been laid down?
A deposit of some nature has been put down. And then the due diligence, both on the part of the buyer looking at the business, has started, and on the part of the seller looking at the financial and expertise wherewithal of the buyer has
mm-hmm.
also started. So it's sort of like a two-way street on that due diligence process.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in negotiations. You've pretty much agreed on many things. Now you've got to structure this, put this together and say, what is it that I'm actually selling, under what conditions, and what terms? And so that's what's happening between the buyer and seller, writing this down and making sure that both parties understand exactly what's being sold, when it's being sold, and how the financing is to be structured, or the actual payment of the purchase price.
Typically, one side or the other takes the lead in this part of the discussion, don't they?
It typically is the seller who will structure the business sale initially.
Mm-hmm.
But the buyer has an awful lot to gain or lose from this, and an awful lot, and should have an awful lot to say about it, and typically they do if they know what they're doing.
All right. Sometimes I've heard at a table, okay, who's going to do the documents? And they basically decide, and it could go either way, who's going to prepare the documents.
Okay, when someone says, who's going to do the documents, the important point is, you know, where are you in this negotiation
mm-hmm.
deal structuring process?
Mm-hmm.
If everything's been agreed to, essentially, and then it's just a matter of putting what's been agreed to together, that's a straightforward process that either of the attorneys can do, and the opposite attorney can review it and approve it.
All right, stand by. We're going to continue to talk with Russ Brown, folks, about how to structure a successful small business sale. We've got a lot more to come. 888-822-8255. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. 1-888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
When everything goes wrong, you have to go on and do it or die.
Do it or die. Sometimes, when you're a small business owner, that's the way you feel, right, Russ?
Boy, I feel that way every so often. That's a great song.
Yeah, isn't that a great song? This is an Atlanta rhythm section kind of day, I guess. you feel that way sometimes when you're in small business. You just have to either do it or die. What is it the pioneers used to say, California or bust?
That's
yeah. Remember that on the Conestogas?
Yes.
We're talking about how to structure a successful small business sale with our good friend Russ Brown, the president of RDS Associates and Business Book Press, which is his publishing company. And Russ, when we took the break, I was talking about who's going to do the documents, who's going to do the contracts. And I'm going to ask you a question. If you're at the table and the comment comes up, and folks, this is a little bit of a detail. This is a little bitty small negotiating point in any deal like this, and that's who's going to do the documents. And so the conversation always comes around to who's going to do the contracts, who's going to write the contracts, who's going to write the documents, whether it be the letter of intent or whatever it might be. What do you like to do, Russ?
Well, I stand up and say I will. So whether you're the seller or the buyer, you volunteered to do it.
I like that. That's exactly how I feel. And then you can negotiate about maybe who's going to pay for it.
That's
typically
right.
If you say you're going to do it, then you're going to pay for it. But if it's going to be really, really, you know, if it becomes a really expensive proposition to prepare these documents, if it's a little bit bigger deal than some deals, then maybe you can get the other party to contribute.
That's
Have you
right.
seen that happen?
That's right. And what you can say is I volunteer to take the lead on that, but let's split the costs on it.
Yeah.
And then that can open up a discussion as to how you're going to split the cost.
And most of the time, Russ, there's one party who just doesn't want to deal with the documents. Haven't you found that to be true?
A lot of times there's two parties who don't want to deal with the documents.
That's true. But yeah. I mean, it's not likely that both parties, I'm not saying it can't happen. It has happened. I've seen it. But it's just that typically, if you say, I'll do it, if you'll volunteer quickly, you probably won't have too much of an argument.
That's right. And let's talk about why you want to do that. The power of the pen.
Yes.
You're the one then putting that document together. You're making sure that your interests are fully covered. Now, of course, you have an obligation to make sure that the deal, as you understand it,
right,
fully presented in the way that you've negotiated and agreed to.
This is not your advantage. This is not your opportunity to take advantage of someone. But there is, as you say, you the document is able to, you're able to at least craft the document originally to make sure that everything that you wanted is in there.
That's right. You can make sure that you're not going to be taken advantage of.
That's
like
right.
I say, you don't want to do this to take unfair advantage of anyone, but you want to make sure that you're not going to be taken advantage of.
Because if you go putting stuff in there that you guys have agreed not to do, or vice versa, then you'll kill the deal. I mean, if the guy, when the other person reads the thing, they're just going to close it up and say, look, if this is how you do business, I'm out of here.
That's right. And you never want to do that. But where the real advantage comes in, and I've never seen a deal that when you go to write it down, you can't come up with something that you hadn't discussed or talked about. So what you do at that point is put that into the paperwork from your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in, and then when you present the information to your counterpart, you explain to them, hey, we didn't talk about this issue. Here's my take on it. I put it into the agreement, and here's the way I think it, in fairness to us both, the way it ought to go. Now, once it's written down, there's a tremendous momentum to keep it.
Right.
So even if it's kind of somewhat in your favor or whatever, it tends to stay the way it's written. So
as Russ said, that's the power of the pen.
That's the power of the pen.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Okay.
I thank you for helping to spend some time with that, Russ, because that's a moment in a negotiation that most people just have no experience in. And if they've never been in that kind of a little scenario, they don't know what the protocol is. They don't know what the etiquette is, so to speak, in something like that. And so I really appreciate you helping me flesh that out. I think that was time well spent. Russ, stand by. We've got to take a break. It's 29 after. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about how to structure a small business sale. 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russ Brown is our special guest. Stay with us, please. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our good friend Russ Brown is joining us to talk to us about how to successfully structure a small business sale. And, Russ, I would like for you to tell our audience how they can find you on the Internet, how they can contact you by phone, and where your books are available.
Well, first of all, my books are available in any good quality bookstore. And if they don't have it, that doesn't mean they're not a good quality bookstore. But
now, they're in a couple of poor quality bookstores. I've seen them in there.
But if you can't find them in the bookstore, they can certainly order them and get them within 2 to 3 days. You can come to my website, where I sell them through the businessbookpress.com. That's www.businessbookpress.com. You'll get a better price than any place else, whether it's a bookstore or Amazon. Or you can always call the publishing company directly. It's 800-363-8867.
And if somebody wanted you to help them buy or sell a business, if they wanted you to at least maybe consult with them a little bit or actually hire you to be a broker for them. Could you do that?
Yes, I consult with business buyers and sellers. I do business valuations.
That would be something you specifically would like people to call you about.
Absolutely. Yep, and you can call me, and can certainly call me directly, and also at that number, just ask for me.
Give it to us again.
800-363-8867. And I'll be glad to have a no-obligation discussion with you about what I can do for you.
And I appreciate that, Russ. I appreciate you doing that for my audience. And folks, probably be a good idea Just to drop him an email and let him know what you're thinking and let him respond to it. That'd be have the least impact on him. And then maybe if you decide it's something that you want to go forward with, then give him a call and talk to him. Okay, Russ, what's next? We're talking about structuring a successful small business sale.
Let's talk about whether we're going to do an asset sale or a corporate stock sale.
Right.
Talk about that very quickly, and that's an important point. An asset sale is, if you're an incorporated business, you don't have to sell the corporate stock of that company to sell the business. You can take all of the assets that make up the company, both tangible and intangible, and sell those assets to the buyer. Or you can sell the corporate stock of the company, and the company then owns all of the assets and all of the both tangible and intangible, and therefore the same process, the same transfer of the business occurs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a very important difference. If you're a buyer, you typically want to buy the assets of the company and not the stock. And the reason is you want to limit your potential future liability. If you buy the stock of the business, the corporate stock, then what happens is you own that company, and any future liabilities that may arise that are a result of past activity on the part of the company may be your responsibility.
Remember these two words, folks. Contingent liability. That's what it is at this moment. As you're about to buy that business, it's considered a contingent liability, and there are two kinds. There are kind that are they're the kind that are known, and there are the kind that are not known.
That's right. And if you still can buy the stock, the corporate stock, there are things that agreements that can be put together, legal agreements called hold harmless agreements. You may want to have that anyway, whether
mm-hmm.
you buy the assets or the corporate stock. There's something that says that the seller will indemnify you and hold you harmless against any actions that the seller may have taken prior to your purchasing the business. This is something very important. This is getting into some of the legal aspects, but you've got to know about it because some of the attorneys that you may get to handle the sale or purchase of the business may not be aware of some.
Make sure you've got a good contract lawyer. Don't get a litigator if you're doing a deal like this. Make sure that your lawyer is a good contract lawyer, which all lawyers are not good contract lawyers. Don't ever forget that.
That's right. You really want to make sure that this attorney has done some business purchase and sale deals in the past.
And remember, if some people out there, Russ, are scratching their head and they're saying, wait a minute, I'm buying the company because I want the name, I want the location, I want the logo and everything. I want everything that this company has developed over the years. That's really what I'm buying because people know that brand in the marketplace. Well, you can still buy that brand and you can still operate with that brand and the phone number and the signage and all that, but under a new corporate entity.
That's right.
So don't worry about that. Russ, what's an example of when you would definitely not want to just buy assets, but you would want to buy the stock?
Well, it's a lot simpler transaction. You don't have to spell out all of the things that you're buying. You don't have to spell out all the intangibles, like
mm-hmm.
the trademarks, the trade names, patents, copyrights, other licenses, things of that nature. You don't have to spell out all the tangibles.
But is there a strategic reason for doing it?
Technically, no, there isn't. I would say that in most cases, I would advise a buyer to buy the assets of the business. We're talking about small business
mm-hmm.
now. To buy the assets and fold them under a new corporate entity that they form through business.
And make sure that the seller dissolves that other company within a reasonable period of time. Make
yes.
sure that's in the documents.
That's all part of the structure.
Yeah. Stand by. It's 39 After. Russ will be right back, folks. Stay with us, please. 888-822-8255. Russ Brown is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 44 After. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's where you can go to find out more about our special guest this hour, Russ Brown, Russell L. Brown, who's the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale, and his other book is Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. Both of them are excellent books. You really need both of them if you really want to know everything there is to know about buying or selling a business or getting your business ready to sell. And I recommend that to you. And you can find out more about Russ at my website in the Brain Trust section. Just go there on from my website and check him out. And you can link directly to his website and to his email from my website. And or you can just go directly there by going to this one that Russ is going to give you.
www.businessbookpress.com.
All one word.
Yes.
Okay. We're structuring a successful small business sale. Russ, what's next?
Let me finish the answer to the question. You asked about the asset versus stock sale.
Yeah.
And when the when you do that, who would, you know, which one prefers it over the other, what the advantages are. So let's just kind of wrap this up. If I'm advising a buyer, I strongly advise the buyer to sell the assets of the corporation.
Okay.
To buy the assets of the corporation. Mm-hmm. If I'm advising the seller, I strongly advise the seller to sell the stock in the corporation, not the assets.
But it's
basically for tax purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually better for the business owner to sell the corporate stock, much cleaner and much neater. Just package it right up and say, all right, all of the shares that I own in this corporation, 100%, I transfer to you, Mr. Buyer. And it makes for a nice, clean, neat deal.
But don't lose a deal by holding on to that if you're the seller, because more than likely the seller is being advised by somebody like Russ Brown or Jim Blassingame, who said, buy assets.
That's exactly right.
So try to sell the stock if you're selling. Try to sell the stock instead of assets if you're selling, but be prepared to back down on that one within, you know, after a reasonable negotiation.
That's right. And if, you know, when you really come right down to it, the one who's the easiest to back down would be the seller.
Yeah.
Because the buyer really has this contingent liability issue to worry about, something that I'd be very concerned about. And even if you get all this hold harmless agreement and indemnification on the part of the seller, you can still be sued. Now, you may win because of all of this, but anyone who's been through a lawsuit will know that they may be bankrupt by the time win the lawsuit.
And Russ, quickly, I want to just point out what some of those things might be. It might be if this company manufactures a product, it might be a product that was sold the week before you bought the company, but now you own the stock and all the company that manufactured that. So your company is about to be sued for some kind of an injury, perhaps. Or it could be some latent claim by an employee for workers' comp or something like that.
Exactly. Or some EEO complaint.
Right,
and so there's all those kinds of things. So you've hit it right on the head, and those are the things you need to worry about. So,
okay. What's next?
Summarize, buyers buy assets, sellers try to sell corporate stock, and if there has to be a back down, the seller should back down and sell the asset.
Right, because you may be faced with a buyer who just says, and I've been this way, I've said, I won't buy your stock. I will buy your assets, but I will not buy your stock. Otherwise, we don't have a deal.
That's right. And
so be prepared for that.
Every part of that business can be sold as an asset, either an intangible asset or a tangible asset. We talked about that.
Yeah.
So now that we've got decided that it's going to be either an asset or a stock sale, we need to write down the components that make up what it is that we're going to transfer. Because even if it's a corporate stock sale, we still want to write down make sure that we get everything that we think we should get to make up that business.
All right.
So we do that. And then we start to put in some other things into this deal. Things like don't forget the covenant not to compete.
Mm-hmm.
If you're buying a business, you want to make sure that after you purchase that business, that the seller doesn't open up the same kind of business down the block and across the street.
Well, I've seen that happen before. It's ugly.
It could be terrible because you've just bought this business, and now that seller, that business owner, has been deceitful to you and has taken all the customers with him.
Well, now wait a minute. If you didn't require it of him or her, they haven't been deceitful. I mean, maybe morally they shouldn't have done it, but they've got no legal responsibility to you.
That's exactly right.
You've got to make sure you tell them that that's what you want. That you want them to either not be able to do business within, you know, 50 miles for the next 5 years or whatever. It's got to be a geography and a time.
Exactly, and you can't be outrageous about it. You can't say for the next 50 years anywhere in the world.
Right.
That because that would be thrown out as an unenforceable agreement.
Okay.
So it has to be reasonable. And
right.
Generally, we're talking 3 years to maybe 5 years, and you're talking about a reasonable market geographic area. If you're a restaurant, for example, let's say, just pick a state, Massachusetts, and you're selling the business, well, you can't require that seller not to be able to open a restaurant, let's say, in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose he retires down to Florida. What's the big deal? It doesn't bother you.
Exactly. It's got to be out of your market area.
Exactly.
All right.
Let's talk about how you pay the seller. There's all kinds of ways to structure how you pay for the business that can have advantages from a tax perspective to both you and the seller.
All right.
Also, things as seller consulting contracts. Discuss that briefly when we come back.
Yeah, stand by, Russ. Folks, it's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to take a break. We will be right back, I promise. Stay with us, please. Thank you for staying with us. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russell Brown is our very good friend and our guest this hour. He's the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale, Sell Your Business for the Most Money, and also Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, which received a Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine recommendation. Congratulations again on that, Russ.
Thank you, Jim.
And if they go to the Entrepreneur Magazine that's sold on the newsstand, there's an insert in the August edition of Entrepreneur Magazine that has a pretty good article on you, isn't it?
Yes, it does. In fact, almost a whole page I was interviewed on buying businesses.
Congratulations. Like I said, folks, no chopped liver on this show, nothing but the best for my audience. Russ, let's wrap up the hour by, you had some more things to talk to us about structuring a small business sale. You were talking about the money.
Yes. You know, I do want to say, though, there's so many facets of the structuring a business sale. And if you're really serious about buying or selling a business, I really recommend that you buy my books and read about it. And if you don't buy mine, buy somebody's, because there's a lot more to this,
right. What
we're able to cover in this time frame. But I think we've covered some really key important points, and I was just going to talk about structuring the financial part of it. And one area that people often overlook is that the selling price of the business can get wrapped up into a contract with the seller to retain their services for a period of time. I've seen business deals where a business might sell for, let's say, $250,000, and $100,000 of that sale price would be a contract with the seller to provide expert guidance and consulting for up to a year after the business sale.
And what's the purpose of that?
Well, in the buyer's side of things, the buyer wants to be able to write off as much of the purchase price of the business as they can, as fast mm-hmm. as they can.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sheltering income kind of thing.
It's also a way of justifying blue sky.
Yes, it is. And
when I say justifying blue sky, I'm talking about to the seller and to the IRS.
Yes, and on the part of the seller, it's a level of income that's received over a shorter period of time that will come out of the profits of the company. Now they are going to have to pay ordinary income tax on that as opposed to capital gains. So there's a problem usually in negotiation process there,
mm-hmm.
but. So almost everything you do that I want you to keep in mind, almost everything that we talk about in structuring the purchase or sale of a business, generally what benefits the seller doesn't benefit the buyer,
mm-hmm.
or just the opposite. And what benefits the buyer doesn't benefit the seller. And that's why you've got to have negotiations. You have to talk this out, work it out between you, and sometimes you'll have to give in. Depending on what side you are, you'll give in on one thing, and the other side will give in on something else.
Balance the equities. Find the middle ground.
That's right.
All right. We've got 20 seconds.
So in 20 seconds, let's finish up by just saying that a business sale price can be structured to be almost anything depending on how you structure the financing. Will the seller take back the financing? Will they agree to this contract and what amount? And there's many, many other financial issues involving the structuring of a business sale that are very important, both from the seller and the buyer's perspective.
Russ, sounds like another show to me.
Yes.
We'll have to do that one. Thank you, Russ. You did great, as always.
Okay, Jim. I really appreciate being on the show, and I really wanted to say again that those archives that you've been able to set up, I can't wait to tell you new websites up.
Thank you, sir.
Really going to help you listen.
I appreciate that. We'll see you soon. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, never be afraid to try something new. Amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.